Good morning, everyone. I'm Mark Parsons, pastor of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church. And for those who are gathered here today, those who may be listening, I've titled our message today, The Refiner's Fire. And I think all of us, just by hearing that, can probably relate to that, The Refiner's Fire. And so all things that we go through is a refining process in trusting God and believing God that He's going to work all things together for our good. But it is a process, and I was just asking some folks here what literally was or is a crucible. And a crucible is a vat or something that is a refining pot to separate impurities. The vat itself is strong enough and heat resistant, stronger than the stuff in it, melting the stuff and separating impurities. So God has us, so to speak, in a crucible every day. You're in a refining pot every day. And some of us, perhaps at the end of a day, may not be so proud of how things went during a given day. You know there's still some impurities to be worked out. You're saved, you love Jesus, and you're washed and you're cleansed, but the old man is still in the dying process. Paul was even bold enough to say, I've been crucified, past tense, with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. Amen. We read that in Galatians. But how bold to say, I've been crucified, past tense, with Christ, knowing that you're being crucified daily and dying daily. I know what he's saying. Y'all understand by the Spirit of God. He knew that, you know, by the grace of God, he was what he was, but he was also in a dying process. But to be able to say, I've been crucified with Christ, is a statement that we all need to be able to say by faith. I am with him now. I'm walking with him. I'm dead to my flesh. But we also know that's a daily process. At the end of the day, how many of you can say, I don't have anything in my life that I wish was not there? All of us have some things to work out. The old man has to die. Well, let's look at a scripture here. Proverbs 17:3. You can either listen to it or I'll read it to you. It's not real long. Proverbs 17:3 says, the refining pot or crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. You don't know me like God knows me. I don't know you like God knows you. It's not my business to be God or Lord over you, nor should we be to each other. But God knows the secrets and the secret compartments in our lives. And every single part of our life, He wants to be Lord of. And that is a process. The more refining goes on, the more the dross comes up. The more the dross comes up, the more the Lord can see what is there or is not there. But in Proverbs 17:3, the refining pot or that crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. God's going to test me in ways that you can't even fathom. God's going to test you in ways that I have no business. I can't even fathom. I can't even go there. But God does, and He does test all of it because we're His children, and He wants us to become the children that He called us to be. Amen. In other words, when I went out to work with my children growing up, I said, let's go build some character. And a lot of times that character involved the crucible. Do it again. Do it better. Do it another way. Do it a better way or whatever. And we go out and we get hurt. We physically get hurt doing work outdoors. And we also get spiritual hurts because I have to do it again. I don't want to do it again. I have to do it again. All those things. Let's go build character. And so I still have some of the little gloves of our children at a young age. I think I've shared them with you before, little tiny gloves that my children use, the very gloves that they use to go out and build character.
They were in the crucible then. They're in the crucible now as adults. We build character by walking every day in our life. And recently, on the table, our kitchen table, little Adeline got her gloves. And I just had to share these with you today. These are her little gloves that she was going to wear to go plant some flowers. Got some pictures of her the other day helping Linda in the yard. And her face, her little body was dirty. And she was out there digging in the dirt and stuff. She just loves it. But we've got to get out there and build character every day. And sometimes you're going to feel that crucible. You're going to feel that refining process. But you're going to have to get out there and labor in God's vineyard.
Amen.
Whether you like it or not. And sometimes it's painful. I feel it at times. The crucible, the refining goes on. I don't care who you are. I don't care what preacher on this earth, he's still in the refining process that you may admire or know of or whatever. Still got to go through that process. Recently, we were at a family gathering and someone said something and it reminded me of Mark when I was like 11 years old. Can you believe it? That will rise up within you. I wanted to excuse myself and remove myself. I ran then. I just ran. I've shared that with you before. But I wanted to excuse myself because what was said, I felt it. Nobody else may recognize it. But God knows those compartments. I didn't look like I was hurt. I didn't look like anything whatsoever. But I'm just sharing with you, and I don't have to give you details. I felt it. And I want to share something with you that this individual said with me that was arguing with one of my other employees with something that he said and something I was saying in my heart. I said, Lord, how long? How long is this going to be there where I have to experience the fire and the purging and to where I don't matter anymore? And the individual that had the argument with my other employee said to me, he felt so bad. He said, how long is this going to go on? Where I keep doing this. The crucible, the fire, the refining process, bringing up the dross.
Anyone relate to what I'm saying? Because you love the Lord. You hate it when that stuff comes up. You hate it. And because God loves you so much, He is going to turn up the heat so you can deal with it. A crucible is a severe test as of patience or your belief or trial. It's a severe test, so to speak. And that, to me, can be every day. Wanting to walk with Jesus, and yet all these things come up in our life, and you have to deal with it either in the flesh or go to the Lord and say, Father, I don't want to excuse myself from this fire. I want to be the man. I want to be the woman. I want to be the child you call me to be. I don't want to push the escape button. I want to do this. And so it is with every one of us. God's not through with us. The crucible is going to be there daily, and He's out after a result, and that is to change lives. And as you do this and as you go through this process, regardless of the other person, regardless of how wrong they were or whatever you thought they were wrong, you still got to die. But these two guys were just going at it to prove their own point. Nobody gains, everybody loses. But the gain was in the individual that said, I'm sorry, and that really touched my heart, really blessed me. The hearts of the children of man are subject not only to God's view, but to His judgment. not only God's view of what's going on, but to his judgment in a given situation. As the refining pot is for silver, both to prove it and to improve it. Look at it that way. God is not out to prove you wrong. He's out to improve you in your circumstances. Not only to prove it, but to improve it. So the Lord tries the hearts. He searches whether they are standard or not. And those that are his, the refiner makes purer. It's just a process. It's a process. And as we go through the process of our daily lives, don't look so much to the end result of things, but live in the process. Live in that moment of trusting God. God tries the heart by afflictions and often chooses his people in the furnace and makes them choice, his choice. Some of our furnaces are hotter than others because there's a need for it to be hotter. Because if there's an impurity in a given thing that's put in the crucible, it's not going to come out unless the heat is increased. So God knows how to do that. I don't follow you around and say, God, 400 degrees there, 600 degrees there. We don't follow each other around and kind of micromanage our lives. God determines that and what is needed to purge us. It is God only that tries the hearts. Man may be there, may try silver and gold in the refining pot process in the furnace, but they have no such way of trying one another's hearts. Have any of you experienced what I'm talking about lately? Where the Lord checking you out and you know you messed up and you're sorry about it, but you also don't kick yourself to death and you're going to go on and do it God's way and you're going to grow from that experience.
Amen.
We met with some people recently. Shirley and I traveled to Tennessee. Everybody's been traveling lately. Everybody's been all over the place. I could see us on a map just kind of going back and forth near each other sometimes, maybe, and back and forth. Ted was in Maryville, Tennessee, and we were really close to Maryville, Tennessee, and coming and going. But we met some folks that were dairy farmers from Ohio, and they came down from Ohio. We came down from Florida. We met halfway in Sevierville and stayed at a cabin there and had the most glorious time from Tuesday to through Friday and left Saturday morning to come back, and they went back to Ohio. One of the most glorious times. And these are wonderful people. They love the Lord. And they had had all daughters, all girls, except for one boy, four girls and a boy. And they raised all their children the same way. But one of their daughters broke their hearts by the way she wanted to live her life. And she rebelled and got into drugs and did her own thing and was attracted to situations that she should not have been attracted to, so much so that this last person that she was with just about killed her, cracked her sternum, and just beat her. She finally escaped, got by, and didn't have hardly a stitch of clothes on her. She finally escaped from the house, went to a neighbor's and called for help. They got her help. She got away from him. And then after all that, it about killed her. You imagine the parents about breaking their hearts because it doesn't have to be this way. But they were telling us their story. And it was just a lot of healing going on in our meeting. Getting together, just a lot. And so she went back to him for just a few days and finally got away. And got married, got a three-year-old precious little girl, little child. And girl or boy, I'm not sure which one, but three-year-old. And they're happily married. And got some restoration going on there. So it's just what a story that was going on in their life. And there was a point in time when the wife was real concerned about her husband. My school friend from Ohio many years ago, a grade school friend, and Tommy. And anyhow, she was real concerned about him at one time. But he got over all the afflictions that he was going through. And we were able to share some of these things, and it was just an awesome meeting of getting together and healing and like a restoration. We were singing Amazing Grace out on the deck of the cabin the last night we were together, and it was just, we weren't yelling it, but we were just singing it, and just a great way to leave. And we had prayer before we left, and been calling each other constantly on the phone since we had met, it's just a great reunion there of seeing my boyhood school friend after all these years, and just great reunion. Isaiah 48:10 says, so there's been fire there. There's been refining going on in their life. There's been refining going on in so many lives that I know of, particularly here in our body recently with a lot of afflictions. But Isaiah 48:10 says, behold, I have refined you in the furnace of affliction. And so we know over and over again in the scriptures, the Bible talks about tribulations and afflictions, but there's a refining going on in the process of these afflictions. In Psalm 66, if you would turn there with me, very, very powerful. Psalm 66, starting with verse 5. Here is an invitation for all God's people, for all time and for all ages, to do something. And starting with verse 5, Psalm 66, verse 5, come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. Before I go any further, verse 5 says, to us today, come and see. Come and see me turning the sea into dry land. He's inviting us to see this, to experience this at a distance, so to speak, but to know that it's true and to have faith in God that he will also, if he needs to, dry up the sea for you today. But he's saying, come and see it. Believe it. Own it. Welcome it. And you can relate the sea into dry land. Any trial you're going through, any furnace you're going through, you can relate this. But he says, come and see. I can do what you think I cannot do. I can show you. I can lead you. You can get through this. Come and see. And it says in verse 6, he turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. What's that? That's the Jordan River. They crossed it on dry foot too. There, let us rejoice in him. He's saying, come, experience this the way they did, and trust me today for what you're going through to cross your Jordan, to cross your Red Sea today. I hated to see you in the hospital, Franny. I hate to see what Shirley's going through right now. I hate to see the trials of some of the physical afflictions we're experiencing. But I want to encourage you to come and see what God can do in your life today. God's greater than the, what do you call it? What?
Cellulitis.
He's greater than cancer. He's greater than all the conflicts and disagreements that you may have in your life and all the domestic problems and everything else you're going through. Come and see the dry land I can make for you, even though it may not seem even that you can be able to cross in any way. You can't get over this. You can't. You can't do it. You don't see how you can do it. It's impossible. And I don't want you frustrated. I don't want you, you know, having mental problems over it. I want you to trust me. I want you to visit what they've done and trust me today in your life.
Amen.
And the other night when I was about ready to get up and leave because of what somebody was not saying to me at all, it's just what was happening, I wanted to excuse myself because I didn't want to ford that stream right there. I just wanted to bail out. It's easy to bail, isn't it? That's the cheap way out. But to remain, to stand and see the salvation of God is greater yet. And look at this. Talk about trials right here. In verse 7, he rules by his might forever. His eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Verse 8, bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad, who keeps us in life. Who keeps us in the classroom. Who keeps us in what our duties, our responsibilities are. He keeps us in illness and sicknesses. He keeps us in life. and does not allow our feet to what? To slip. For thou hast, look at verse 10, here we go with the crucible. Thou hast tried us, O God. Thou hast refined us as silver is refined. Thou dost bring us into the net. Thou dost lay an oppressive burden upon our loins. Thou dost make men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet thou dost bring us out into a place of abundance.
Amen. That's a big word.
We visited the Biltmore House recently. How many of you been to the Biltmore House in Asheville? George Washington Vanderbilt built that, and the largest single residence in the United States. We visited it, and over a million trees were planted by this renowned architect, landscape architect, and money was not an issue. And it was, we were on top. We took the architectural tour. We was up there 90 feet looking down. Three stories on this castle, but their three stories are our nine stories. We're looking down 90 feet. 2 square miles of property went with it at that time. 2 square miles. 125,000 acres. But my point about the Biltmore House is, you have to see it sometime if you can. We had a 3-mile journey getting to it through the forest and through the trees that was all landscaped and designed in the late 1800s, early 1900s. All laid out. Amazing. 3-mile drive to this house that is based upon French and British architecture, and looks, it's on a French Broad River, looks like a castle. It is a castle, and built with all that fashion and everything. 3 miles traveling to it, and all of a sudden you pop out and there it is. My point is, even though we're on our journey and we don't see it yet, we're going and we're switched back and forth, and we're going there, it's there, we're going to it, we're going to see it, and all of a sudden you pop out and there it is. No trees in front of it or anything, this great big grand grassy entrance, and then you see it at a distance in front of you. We travel, we go through, we don't see it. We're going around, and yet all of a sudden it says right here, he brings us into a place of abundance. In verse 12, yet thou dost bring us out into a place of abundance. And all of a sudden you see it, it's there. You know it's there, and you're traveling to it, and all of a sudden it's there. You see it. And one day we're going to see the kingdom that way. Down here right now, we don't see it. By faith, we receive it. Like in Pilgrim's Progress, they get the big telescope out and he sees the celestial city at a distance. And that's what hope is all about. That's what's getting through the crucible is all about, because you know God is doing a work now and you don't see the end result of it all, but you're going to go through the process and the fire and the furnace and the crucible, but you know one day God is going to get you there. And as we traveled, we popped out and there's the Biltmore House. I've done it before a couple of times. It's just, every time it's majestic. It's amazing. 3 presidents have been there and visited, and people from somebody, the head of Finland, or has been there, and just movies have been made there. But it's not the celestial city that where we're going. But it is grand on this earth. It's grand. It's amazing. All the grounds and everything that goes with it, the gardens. It's amazing. And here we go in verse 12. He brings us out into a place of abundance and we see it. And it says, verse 14, with which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. Verse 13 has to do with in the midst of your crucible, praising God regardless. Verse 13 says, I will come into thy house with burnt offerings. I shall pay thee my vows, which my lips uttered and my mouth spoke when I was in distress. While I was in distress. How many of you know it's difficult to praise God in the midst of your crucible? It's not easy. I have shared with you before how hard it is to say I'm sorry to someone when you don't want to say you're sorry. But you know you should be. It's so hard to open the mouth to say I'm sorry. But when you do, you feel that goodness and that clarity from the Lord. It's been very difficult many times to look at Shirley and say, I'm sorry. It's hard to open your mouth. But you also feel sometimes you're not even, you shouldn't even be having to say you're sorry, and you keep trying to justify yourself. But you need to say it for the better good. And sometimes you are wrong and you need to say you're sorry, but it's hard, very difficult. The thing to do, he who knows to do and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. The individual that says, I'm sorry, that's it, that's the process. You can't worry about the end result of what they do or don't do. You hope they come around, but you still got to live it. And if they say, so what? So what you're sorry? You said that before, so what? And they just go on being them, you still got to really dig down. And you're going to find out whether what you said, you really meant it or not. So you're going to find out, because you're going to come right back and get angry again. So if you're really in the crucible and you're really dying and the dross is coming up, that's not going to bother you, regardless of the reaction.
Amen.
And so that's where it's at. Come in here, verse 16, all who fear God, and I will tell of what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue, and I regard... And if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. And verse 19, he has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor his loving kindness from me. These people, this psalmist, doesn't say it's David, was in a crucible and yet praised the Lord. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will praise him. How y'all doing when you're being slayed, so to speak? You still praising God, or you wanting to slay back? You getting some arrows shot at you? You want to shoot back? If you do, God loves you, and he's going to turn up the heat. He's going to turn up the heat. Because you cannot hate because there's hatred coming toward you. You cannot, if you're a child of God, you've got to return good with evil, for the evil coming against you. We can't get into the flesh. I want to share with something with you also in Psalm 26. This is powerful. Psalm 26. Psalm 26, verse 1. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. How many of us can say that? Just give you a week. How many of you trust the Lord without wavering? No little flare-ups. The fire is doing its work. You're being purged. And verse 2, there's actually a prayer welcoming God to do something. And it takes, to me, a child really after the heart of God to say this. What's it say in verse 2? Lisa, you got that in your...
I don't have the Amplified, but I have...
It's okay.
This is King James. 26:2. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart.
And the New American Standard says, examine me, O Lord, and try me, test my mind and my heart. Examine means to test the genuineness of something. Someone can say, I'm sorry, because somebody else asked you 10 times to tell them you're sorry. But you just do it, say, okay, get off my back, I'm sorry. But the Lord tests the genuineness of the sorry. Of the asking for it. He tests the genuineness of it, and who can know that but God? So you can say it 1,000 times you want, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, may not mean anything, but God tests the genuineness of that. Examine me, O Lord, try me. Verse 3, for thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I do not sit with deceitful men, nor will I go with pretenders. I hate the assembly of evildoers, and I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about thine altar, Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all thy wonders. O Lord, I love the habitation of thy house and the place where thy glory dwells. Do not take my soul away along with sinners, nor my life with men of bloodshed, in whose hands is a wicked scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I shall walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me. My foot stands in a level place. In the congregations I shall bless the Lord. How many of you are willing to ask the Lord and pray to the Lord to examine you? To really give you His report of what's going on there. If you do that, He will give you, He will convict you, the Holy Spirit will convict you and me of the error of our way. The crucible. Who wants to go to be baptized in a crucible? Who would want to volunteer to do that? But that is exactly what the Lord does. He will purge us. He will purify us in His fire and His trials. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. On and on and on we can read scriptures about God's testing the hearts and the minds of man. But Paul said it this way. I want to share something with you as we get ready to close here on these sharing with you about dying to the flesh and the crucible process. Paul said it this way, and he said it very succinctly in Galatians 6:14. Very powerful exclamation here. Paul said in Galatians 6:14, but may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Anyone care to make a comment on that? This is very powerful. I've been crucified to the world and the world's been crucified to me. Look like we got two crucifixions going on here.
Well,
the world is no longer there for me to live in it and experience it in the fleshy worldly way because it's been crucified to me. And I've been crucified to the world. He himself has. So you got two things going on there. It's very powerful what he's saying. I've been crucified to the world. The world's been crucified to me. And then it says in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. We all know that one. We sing that song. Yet it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. And then Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was, our old self, our old man was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. The refiner's fire. Are you feeling the heat today? Are you being convicted of your old man? Are you willing to change? That's the bottom line. That's what this is all about. Throughout the Old and New Testament, we have to die to the self in order to live. And in my life, I'm experiencing just how alive Mark can be at times. It is the process, not the end. It's the process that God is at. That's the end. Obey me, do what I say, walk with me every day through all the stuff that you go through. That's what I'm after. I'm after that process of you staying in the heat, not wanting to jump out, staying on that table of sacrifice, and not wanting to run from me. Who did run from the Lord, and yet he tried to hide from God? Was it not Jonah? I'm going to hide from God. I'm going to go down here and I'm going to get away from God. And yet, he tried to hide, but God knew exactly what he was after. What was his crucible? What was Jonah's problem? Why was he running from the Lord? He did not want these wicked people to experience the same grace that he received. That was his crucible. He did not want them to repent. He said to God, I knew they were going to do it. I know you're a loving and gracious God, slow to anger, and I knew you're going to do that and have mercy on them. And God said, well, how about that? But yet he was running from God. He was trying to hide from God. Went down that ship, but God sees us. You can go down whatever ship you want to get into or try to crawl, what hole you want to crawl into. God sees us. He knows where we are. He says, come out, wherever you are. We got lessons to learn. So we have lessons to learn. So don't run from God because you can't hide from God. How many of you feel you are growing and God is very patient with you and he's not through with you yet, but you're not going anywhere other than following him? Yeah. May the Lord bless you and this week as you go forth and even this afternoon to be open and praying and asking God to mold you and shape you and to refine you into the person He called you to be. It is a process, but be patient, be forgiving to your own self, and let God continue to do the work, whatever your crucible may be. God bless you.